Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us on a beautiful Friday afternoon. We just got done speaking with Joe Mackey here in studio. You see him on Gutfeld. He is around the whole comedian circuit. Very, very, very funny guy. Get your tickets to his show. He has two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. If you go to stlewisfunnybone.com, you can get those tickets before those tickets are sold out. We are 11 days from Election Day.
Okay, 11 days, let's go.
The Kamala Harris campaign has been, in my opinion, 100% completely reduced to making people try to believe that Donald Trump is Hitler-esque.
Yeah, it really looks desperate. It looks like... And I think I heard Will Cain at, he's on 8 o'clock every weeknight here on 97.1, saying something to this effect last night, that it's like they've already thrown the kitchen sink, and now they're dismantling the house looking for drywall and pipes to throw because it's all coming down.
I said this yesterday, but the current state of the Harris-Walls campaign is like in a pirate movie where they're at the end of the battle and everything has been fired and they've got nothing left and someone turns around and they're like... Everything you can, put it in the cannons and fire. And you're firing, like, you know, trash and forks and spoons and glass and everything and just loading it in there and hoping for the best. I don't feel like this attempt is going to land in the way that you expect it to land. But at the same time, I don't trust these people. I still don't feel like I can trust fully. I don't have the full confidence in the ability for the election to go smoothly and safely and fairly. That is something that I am still a bit concerned about. And we've heard this phrase over and over and over again, but too big to rig. That's what it needs to be. Will there be cheating? Will there be fraud? Will there be mistakes? Because mistakes happen in every election. Just because something isn't counted the way it's supposed to doesn't mean it's always intentional. But, you know, it's like, to me, I think about the budget, the federal government budget. They have a budget line for fraud. Like, how much money is going to, like, okay, this is, and it is an astronomical amount of money for stuff that's not going to get spent or go the where it's supposed to go, or, and so on and so forth. Like, I just, if Donald Trump is winning as big as it feels inside that he's winning, it has to leapfrog exponentially the amount that can be attempted to cheat and steal. And I pray that that's the case, but I wouldn't say I'm worried, but I would say I'm very anxious about
it. I get that. After 9/11, there were so many security protocols that we still now have to go through to fly. And I've heard, you know, national security people, especially at the time, we haven't talked about it as much recently, but closer to 9/11, after all these things were implemented to fly on an airplane, say, yes, these are good. These are good things. They will make flying more secure and everybody will be safer. However, the thing that is going to make people the most safe is that American patriots now know that if they see something weird happening on a plane, somebody's going to stand up to that.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about this election, that there have been a lot of things that have been put in place, laws, you know, things, COVID things clawed back that shouldn't have been ever at all. And that's good. We need actually more of that. But in 2020, going into 2020, there was very little talk about watching out for fraud and, you know, making sure that everybody was on the same page and watching for this and that in specific. Now there is. Now American patriots, they are watching for that stuff.
Well, the thing about it is in 2020, they changed all those rules so last minute that people weren't even sure what to watch out for.
It's very true.
I mean, like Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court just said, hey, we're going to change the rules. That's not what the Constitution of Pennsylvania says, but they said, hey, we're going to do it anyway. And so, like, it was such an outlier of an election that whenever you have that much chaos, and that's all you need to do is sow chaos, you could get away with stuff if you wanted to.
Pennsylvania voters, undecided voters, were in a focus group of sorts, like a digital focus group, and they were talking about this new accusation from the Kamala Harris camp about Donald Trump's obvious Hitler ties. That's what you lead with, folks. If that's true, that's what you lead with. You should, there should be zero other arguments that precede this dude loves Hitler. Like, if that's actually the truth, the God's honest truth, and you have the ability to say, this is the case, this is the reality of this man, you're not like, well, we'll just hold that one back in case we feel like we really have to play that card. No, you play that card, you win the game. It's a knockout punch. If it's real, if it's true and honest, if it's believable, you don't do it now in the midst of policy questions that every voter out there has right now about Kamala Harris, and in the midst of a lack of confidence that Kamala Harris has sowed into the minds of those voters who are like, I can't stand the orange man, but you got to give me something to feel like you can handle this. You got to put us in a position that one way or another, we are in a position to believe that whatever comes up, that at least you'll be able to handle it. The closing argument from the Kamala Harris camp is he's Hitler. That's not a closing argument. That is a Hail Mary, because if it were real, you'd lead with it. Mark Halperin had 8 voters in a focus group, and they were talking about this. These are Pennsylvania undecided voter focus group. I kind of question it, the word undecided. I'm always like, define it. Are you just trying to figure out if you can stomach the vote for Kamala Harris or if you can stomach the vote for Donald Trump? Because I feel like that's undecided.
There's a wide variety of what could be called undecided.
Yeah. Mark Halperin is asking, and they're talking about the new or resurgence of the Hitler accusations about Donald Trump.
I can't. I think part of the reason why I'm being pushed towards Trump so strongly is that I find that the Democrats and the left just keep going straight to Hitler all of the time with everything. Like, if it's not the left pushing Hitler, it's the right pushing Stalin. So it's like we're fighting World War II every single day for every single election. So it's so exhausting. I think it just detracts from, it pushes me away from their position, and it, you know, it's so hyperbolic that it makes it impossible to have good discussions, and I think it ruins the discourse.
Does anybody think it's valuable or something you want to hear from the vice president?
That's
anybody,
Mark Halperin.
Raise your hand if you think this is something that's important for her to be talking about.
And there are 8 voters anybody? There, and nobody raises their hand. That's where we are right now. If you're undecided one way or the other, why you're undecided, you know, who knows? If you're undecided, this story right now, this story isn't the thing that's changing your mind. This story is not the lead thing on your brain where you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Well, it's because you've seen Donald Trump so much. People are like, oh, this is all baked into the cake. Well, also, they also know that this guy has run now the 3rd presidential campaign. That this, at this moment, is finally the time that somebody said, I have to tell you. I didn't want to tell you back in 2020, but he was walking around talking about Hitler all the time. This time, though, I'm going to tell you that. Well, why didn't you tell me last time if that were true? Because you had the opportunity.
And I would go back to what Steve Cortez, who worked with Donald Trump, who has worked very hard as an advocate for his campaign and with Donald Trump as president of the United States. You know, he made this point, and I reiterated this point. I was like, just to be clear here, are you saying it's profitable to be the person, Kelly, who comes out and says this? Is it profitable to be that person? And he like laughed and was like, oh my gosh, yes.
Heck yeah.
So if you're in a position to, you know, step into the fire and say, you know what, I didn't want to have to do this, but here's what I know. If you're putting your, I think about Tony Bobulinski. Mm. Tony Bobulinski is a perfect example of somebody who came out and put everything on the line to tell the truth about what Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were doing with Burisma, with their connections in China, with their business deals, Joe Biden's involvement in it, the Biden brand being Joe Biden. Tony Bobulinski put everything on the line for that moment because he wanted that to come out and be known by people. And at the same time, people are like, well, Annie, Tony Bobulinski is the same thing as Kelly. Kelly is a politician. Kelly is looking for headlines. Kelly is looking for publicity, and he's probably looking for more book deals or whatever. That's how he, that's the function. Tony Bobulinski, you'd never heard of him until he came out and said this. He came out of the shadows to say something that he believed that the American people needed to hear. That is a huge difference. John Kelly stands to benefit enormously from doing what he's doing. Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, completely irrelevant in their former versions of themselves. And like a snake crawling out of their skin, they now slither into the Democrat Party so that they can once again be relevant. They have a lane now. They get to be everybody's favorite Republican. Yes, Joe Manchin is your favorite Democrat. He's an independent now, right? Did he leave the Democratic Party? I think he became independent.
Everyone's
like,
so.
Who's your favorite Democrat? And Joe Manchin's always, you don't prefer Joe Manchin over Republicans that you like. You like Joe Manchin because he makes Democrats look bad. Democrats like Kinzinger and Cheney because in their mind, they make Republicans look bad and frustrated and angry. It's not because you feel like you want more of them. You just like what they do to decimate the party that you despise. You don't want more. You don't want more Adam Kinzingers of the world. You probably honestly want more AOCs of the world, people who are on the firmly on the far left side and reliable votes for the people on the left. That's what you want. Is Kamala Harris doing a press conference right now?
Yes.
Can we cue this up to the beginning and see if she spoke here and because if she's taking questions right now from the media, that is a big deal. And I'd be interested to see who she's taking questions from. And what kind of questions they are, if it's a select group of people. But she's in Houston tonight. A lot of people are like, oh, it's a big deal. Kamala Harris, why is she campaigning in Texas, of all places? A red, red state. Maybe she's trying to help the Ted Cruz opponent there, whatever. But while you have the Texas Kamala Harris campaign, you also have a Donald Trump Madison Square Garden campaign event percolating as well next week. So you have people going into states that they're not going to win and trying to make a case in a big way. In Texas, Kamala Harris has Beyonce there, among another, like a whole host of cast of characters of celebrities. It's always interesting to me how the main featured celebrities on the Democrat side are celebrities, and the main featured celebrities at Trump rallies, the majority of them are celebrities in the political world.
Yeah,
they're there because Tucker Carlson's a huge name. And that's why they're there. It's not just a list of Hollywood types, athlete types. Do you have ready?
I'm trying to get there.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll cue this up and we'll see. We're supposed to do Ask Us Anything. I might punt that to 205. We can take some time to do that. I believe Kamala Harris is taking questions from the press. When we come back, we'll take as much of that as we can stomach. So stick around. We'll have that for you on The Annie Fry Show when we come back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Kamala Harris is in Houston right now. Is that Beyonce event tonight?
As far as I know, yeah.
I think
yeah,
so,
that's
right?
Why she's there.
She's in Houston, and she just talked to the media, and I think that she answered some questions. We're going to listen in to what she has to say here.
President of the United States. So I will be talking about the harm. I will be talking about those who have been directly impacted, and I will also tonight be talking with the American people about the power that you, the American people, have to make a decision about the future course of our country. And do we all agree that there are just certain decisions the government should not be making for individuals and their families? I also do want to address the comment that Donald Trump made about America being the trash can of the world, whatever he said, something along those lines. It's just another example of how he really belittles our country. This is someone who is a former president of the United States who has a bully pulpit. And this is how he uses it, to tell the rest of the world that somehow the United States of America is trash. And I think, again, the president of the United States should be someone who elevates discourse and talks about the best of who we are and invests in the best of who we are. Not someone like Donald Trump, who is constantly demeaning and belittling who the American people are. America deserves better. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Ma'am, you're here to talk about reproductive rights in Texas, not exactly a swing state in the last 2 weeks here. But this is an issue that a lot of voters are coming out to vote potentially for you on. But if you don't have a Congress that will codify Roe, like you've been saying on the trail, what specifically is your plan to expand reproductive rights in this country?
Well, when Texans vote for Colin Aldred for the United States Senate, we will be in a position where we actually will be closer to being able to put back in place the protections of Roe v. Wade. And as I have said, and it is my pledge, when Congress passes a bill putting back in place reproductive freedom, I will sign it into law.
But if you don't have a friendly Congress, there's no plan B, there's no other plan?
We keep fighting. And our country, America, has a history of understanding. We don't give up the fight for freedom. We do not give up the fight when it comes to some of the most basic freedoms any individual in our country has a right to expect, including the right of a woman to make decisions about her own body and not have her government tell her what to do.
Madam Vice President, staying on Congress, Politico is reporting a House Freedom Caucus leader says that North Carolina should consider giving Trump its electors before votes are counted because the Helene damage was in predominantly Trump counties. What's your reaction to language like that?
America deserves to have leaders who respect the importance of one of the pillars and foundations of our democracy, which is free and fair elections, and that they are not manipulated by elected leaders for the sake of their own political future or their own political strategy for how they themselves want to succeed. This has to be about what's in the best interest of the American people. And one of the big issues in this election and in the next 11 days is, do you want a president who, on one hand, in the former President Donald Trump, tried to undo the will of the people, incited a violent mob to attack the United States Capitol, where 140 law enforcement officers were injured and some were killed? Or do you want a president who respects the will of the people, free and fair elections, and the right of the people to make a decision about who are their leaders?
Some Democrats are concerned that you've pivoted too far away from talking about the economy and really prioritizing that in these final days of the election, that you could end up losing some progressive voters and some working class voters because of that. What do you say to those people, especially ones who might be concerned that, you know, doing a big closing argument speech at a place like the Ellipse, maybe leaning more into talking about the threat of Trump to democracy and not his threats that you see to the economy?
One of the things that I love about the American people is we can hold many thoughts at once. And one of the highest priorities for the American people right now is bringing down cost, and that is the priority of my agenda and will be the priority of my work when I'm elected President of the United States. My priority includes fighting for our democracy, including fighting for the freedom of people to make decisions about their own body, including what we must do to speak out against threats to our democracy, what we must do to speak up in defense of our allies around the world on important international rules and norms such as sovereignty and territorial integrity. All of these issues are issues that affect and concern the American people, and I will continue to speak on all of them.
And Jamie Dimon wants to be a part of your cabinet. Have you talked to him about that? And do you think Wall Street should be a part of your cabinet?
We have 11 days to go. I do not have a cabinet yet. And so the decisions I'm making are all about what I will be doing and what we will be doing to remind the American people of the power of their vote.
So you haven't thought about that yet?
I have not.
Madam President, have you voted yet? Have you?
When I have not voted yet, but it's on my priority list for these next few days.
Ma'am, one quick question. Mitch McConnell and Speaker Mike Johnson put out a statement comparing rhetoric that you have been using, comparing it to the man who's accused of an attempted assassination on your opponent, Donald Trump. Do you take their criticism seriously?
Well, listen, we all must speak out against any form of political violence, and I'm very clear about that. No one should be the subject of violence, much less political violence. But the American people deserve to be presented with facts and the truth. And the fact and the truth is that some of the people closest to Donald Trump when he was president, generals, including most recently John Kelly, a four-star Marine general, have been very clear about the danger and the threat that Donald Trump poses to America and the fact that he is unfit to serve. And the American people deserve to hear that and know about that so they can make a decision based on what's in the best interest of themselves and their families.
We talked to a lot of voters, some who are undecided, and while they are turned away from Donald Trump, they also have told us that they felt like they haven't heard enough of your policies specifically. Do you feel that in your messaging in these final days of the election, you're striking the right balance against Trump and talking about the specifics of your own policy enough?
That is a balance that must be struck. There's no question about that. And I invite everyone who is watching to go to KamalaHarris.com, where you will see 80 pages of our policies on a number of issues that include, again, as my priority, what we're going to do to bring down the cost for American families, including the cost of housing, the cost of groceries, the cost of childcare, the cost of home health care for seniors. And I will continue to talk about also what we must do to understand the threat that Donald Trump poses to our democracy and our future and our security.
You're ready for Beyonce?
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Ma'am, you ready for Beyonce?
All right, she's walking off of the area there where they took questions. I mean, that's Kamala Harris doing a press conference, right? We have not seen that before.
Hey, good for her. And you know what? The biggest difference I've seen from her and Joe Biden is that she knew right where to walk when the stage was
they're like, boom.
Yeah.
Usually the one oppositional reporter gets to yell out something like really, really bad. And,
yeah.
And then Joe Biden just like slowly turns around to the camera and you can just hear a staff going, Joe.
No, Joe.
And then they try to get him back and then he says something stupid.
Smiles a little bit.
And then he's just like, gosh, you were 30 seconds away from making it out there. I don't know. I know that you are not listening to the show because you want to hear a press conference or a long scripted thing of Kamala Harris, but she did the press conference and I wanted to know what that sounds like because we haven't had that yet. We have not seen her come out and answer questions. And I don't like the one question that kind of had me scratching my head was this person. I don't even remember what the specifics were about it, but was asking about who she would have in her cabinet. So he asked her about like, if you're elected, are you going to do this? And she's like, I'm not the president yet. I'm working on becoming the president and coming up with the things that we're going to do when I'm the president. And it was like, you know, you have to pick a cabinet.
You know what, though?
Do you have thoughts on that? Like, is there anything you can share? Any guidance that you can provide as to how you would apply, your decision making skills? Pause for effect to choosing a cabinet that would represent the people who you would like to have come vote for you right now. And then she was asked, have you voted yet? And then she started to be like, I'm really busy. That's the stupidest thing you can say. You don't say that. You say, yes, I absolutely have a plan to vote. We haven't done it yet, but you will be the first to know when I do. We will make sure that the American people are aware. And I do encourage you to early vote, just as I intend to early vote myself. Done. Sheila's like, I haven't done it yet. I've got a lot of things to do.
It's on my list?
Yes, it's on my list. It's on your list.
You know what, though? Journalism in Texas is not dead, because those were some pretty good questions. They asked her, you know, stuff that you're like, I want to hear the answer to this question. Now, she didn't answer it, but at least they were asking it. One of them was...
A non-answer is an answer.
Absolutely. And one of the questions was, in that very brief press conference, you know, people are suggesting that you're just talking about Trump being a threat to democracy over and over, and you're not addressing things that people care about, like the economy. And her answer to that question was, I answer a whole lot of things. I say a lot of stuff. One of the things that I say is that Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. And also, we got to talk about abortion more. That's basically her answer to that question.
And it matters that you know that when she's asked that question, that's where her brain goes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the script says. Yeah.
Well, Donald Trump also delivering a bit of a press conference right now. Let's listen in to see what he's saying in Austin, Texas. So there's a little crossover right now. Texas is really getting the job done.
Pretty good amount, isn't it, Ted, huh? The outrageous decision goes against the very bedrock of our democracy, and thankfully, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, who's doing a terrific job, is working hard to fix this problem. They found thousands of illegal votes, and the judge said you didn't do it in a timely fashion. They did it a long time ago. As legal scholar Andy McCarthy just said, and very correctly, how can non-citizens be allowed on the voter rolls if their voting is a federal crime? Constitutional law professor Jonathan Turley, two great guys, by the way, also notes that it is a crime to be a non-citizen voter. Removing illegal voters off the voting roll should be a big priority for this country, and yet instead we're scorned by a judge. This is blatantly un-American, and it's election interference, and Kamala Harris is behind it very much. And so I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And obviously, I mean, it's up to the governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, but I assume they're going to be appealing it. I think he's going to. And they feel very strongly about it, so we'll see how it goes. But you have to get the confidence going for elections when you have decisions coming down like that, where they allow people to vote that blatantly aren't qualified to vote. It's pretty sad for our country. We have enough problems with the elections. It's about confidence. We're here today in the great state of Texas, which is, I like it. Which under Kamala Harris has been turned into ground zero for the largest border invasion in the history of the world. You're lucky you have your governor and people like Ted and Dan and all of the people, Sid. Even John, who's from a different state, but he feels the same way. Or you would really have problems, but you've done an amazing job under the circumstances. But the federal government's supposed to be doing that job, and it should be easy, and it's not because of the people. But over the past 4 years, this state has become Kamala's staging ground to import her army of migrant gangs and illegal alien criminals into every state in America. And every state's a border state. You've heard that. It's true. Paving a trail of bloodshed, suffering, and death all across our land. And it's only getting worse. It's just incredible when you look at the numbers. 21 million people at least during this 3.5 year period. And many of them, as you know, are murderers, drug dealers, people from jails. They're letting their people out of jails and bringing them right into our country. We're like a dumping ground. What Kamala Harris has done on our border is cruel, it's vile, and it's absolutely heartless. Her policy of importing migrant gangs is a crime against our country. It's actually a crime against humanity. And her abolition of our border should disqualify her for even running. I mean, I don't know how you can run for the president of the United States and allow people to pour into our country. And we're talking about seriously criminal people. Many of these people, and they come from all over the world. It's not just South America. They're coming in from Africa. They're coming in from the Middle East. The Congo, that's a hot place right now. A lot of people coming in from prisons in the Congo. They're coming into our country. It's not even believable, actually, when you think. You know, you're standing up here, you're saying this stuff, John Barrasso. But you're saying this, and you say to yourself, you know, is it even believable? It's sort of like, actually, in a smaller way, but still very important, men playing in women's sports. Who would want that? But, you know, 10 years ago, you would never say that. And then you have the transgender operations all over the place. And you're saying this, and you have parental guidance. And we want our child to be parentally guided. And you have to make apologies for the fact that they're not. But they're going to be, and we're going to bring that back. We want our parents. But, you know, if you go back 10 years or 15 years ago, if you ever made a speech like that, they'd say, this guy's crazy. What is he talking about? Those things would never happen. And they didn't happen until a certain time ago with the radical left. No person who is responsible for so much bloodshed on our own soil can ever be allowed to become president of the United States. And I think she's coming here today. She doesn't want to go to a swing state because she's losing so badly in those states. So she decided to come to Texas, and I'm sure she'll be treated very nicely. Today, she picked the wrong place. I think she picked the wrong place. Why do I know about politics? I haven't done it that long, actually. But today, Kamala is here in Texas to rub shoulders with woke celebrities. Isn't that exciting? But she's not going to meet with any of the victims of migrant crime. While she's here, we have many of them right here, the families, we have many of them, and they're incredible people, what they've gone through, the hell that they've gone through, and will continue to go through, unfortunately. She'll not speak to the grieving mothers from whom she has stolen the brightest light in their life. She was in charge of this border, and she doesn't like being called border czar anymore. She didn't mind it almost 4 years ago, but now she doesn't like it. But you don't need that term. She was in charge of the border. She never came here, and she never made one call to these people behind me or anybody in the group. Not one call. She's in charge. She deals with Border Patrol. She hasn't made, Paul, not one call in 4 years. So we're joined today by a Texas mom, Alexis Nungary from Houston, a great woman. This past June, thank you. Great one. Where is Alexis? Where is she? Come up here, Alexis. Come up here. So this past June, Alexis's 12-year-old daughter, her precious angel, as you say, Jocelyn. We all called her that. We feel we know Jocelyn. And she's had a big impact, Alexis. You know that, right? She's had a big impact. Walked to a nearby convenience store. Jocelyn was kidnapped, tied up, assaulted. And I'm not going any further than that. I'm standing with the mother. And horrible things happened to her, to that young, beautiful girl. And the animals arrested for Jocelyn's barbaric murder are two illegal aliens believed to be members of the savage Venezuelan prison gang known as Tren de Aragua. And they're all over the place now. They're all over our country. They were in Aurora, but Aurora's now the least of it. They've taken over buildings in Aurora. The government, a radical left Democrat, weak person, doesn't know quite what to do. He's always got a big mouth when he talks about other things, but he has no idea what to do. And they have weapons of military grade. You say, how did they get those weapons? These monsters were in Border Patrol custody, but under a program Kamala Harris created to abolish detention for fighting-aged men, whatever that means, and give them free and automatic entry into the United States. The killers were released into our country, and Alexis, we cannot begin to imagine your pain. And if you'd like to say a few words, would you like to? Would you? Thank you. Thank you, darling.
I want to thank everybody for Donald Trump, really, for the opportunity to be able to say my daughter's story. I know everybody knows somebody that was like her. She was 12. She was going to be a seventh grader, preteens. They think they're invincible. And she was just being a child. And due to the Biden-Harris policies we have here, or why she's not here anymore. She was taken from her vulnerability and they made her a target and ran with that. And now I will forever be a grieving mother and my son will forever be a grieving brother who will no longer get to grow up with his sister. Kamala Harris has never reached out to me, just even as a human, to give her condolences as a humane person running this country. I think it's very sad that she can't even just give me an open apology, sincere apology. She's attempted to apologize to me just days before this election, and I find it very inconvenient and inconvenience for her. I appreciate everything Donald Trump, Senator Ted Cruz has done for me. They've been a tremendous amount of help for me and my family during this incredibly hard, hard journey for me. I want to thank everybody for listening to my words. Thank you.
Well, that was Alexis, the mother of this young 12-year-old girl. This is gut-wrenching to watch. The 12-year-old at home myself, and understanding the pain that she's going through, I can't even fathom. There you have it, in one segment, back-to-back, really. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, two press conferences.
Both in Texas.
Both in Texas. Trump in Austin and Kamala Harris in Houston. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's discuss the YouTube live chat poll. The question we're asking you on the Andy Fry YouTube channel, come over and say hello. Which Trump second term would be more effective? Should he have won in 2020? Or now that he has the opportunity to win in 2024? Which one can he be more effective in? The Andy Fry YouTube channel. If you come vote there, you can leave a comment if you so choose. We'd love to know what you think about it. And in the 2 o'clock hour, we'll kick it off with Ask Us Anything. So leave your questions as well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Andy Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Andy Fry Show. Did I delete that? I hope I didn't. I think I did. Man.
The video you just
took? Yeah, I think I did.
Don't do that.
I don't understand how to use Snapchat. I'm an old person. I just use it for the filters. Then I download the video and upload it on Facebook and to X, which we used to call Twitter.
But you deleted it?
I don't know.
I'm okay if you did. It makes
I'm
me
not.
Look stupid.
It doesn't make you look stupid. You look great.
It does. It makes me look like I have giant eyes and a huge mouth.
You looked adorable.
And my voice sounds
like a leprechaun.
That's
the best you've ever looked. Are you kidding me?
If that's true, that's unfortunate, because it's a comedic filter.
Well, that's a you thing.
No. I think that if you put that out to the people, they would say, yes, this makes Ryan look stupid.
I don't think so. That might be Monday's poll.
I'm fine with that.
Go subscribe and see this video and tell me if this guy looks stupider than Ryan in real life.
Although I'm a little concerned about the framing of that people might be Mr. Jokey Joke and vote, yes, he looks better.
Mr. Jokey Joke.
I don't love that either.
We're going to do the video again because I think I deleted it. Gosh darn it.
We'll have to do it at 2:45. I can't do a time check.
The YouTube live chat poll is which Trump's second term would be more effective, 2020 or 24. What do you guys think? Brian or Brad, you go first this time. What do you think?
I think I'm going to go with 2024. And the reason I think that is because people have gotten a nice, healthy dose of what a Democrat-run country is. And what it turns out like and how it affects your life. And now they know. And I think that what you will have in 2024 that you wouldn't have in 2020 is you will have a bunch of people who are like, let's go, let's get this done. He would have the support and the mandate of the people, not just Congress and the Senate.
2024?
Yep, 2024.
Amanda says there would have been less for him to fix in 2020 versus now. However, I feel he is a different person now and will be more effective. That's an interesting way to look at it. Officer Gary says 2024 will be better by far. Trump will be more aware of how D.C. works. He will get rid of legacy bureaucrats that worked against him and no COVID. It's a very interesting point to make that when Donald Trump would go in for his second term in 2024, should he win in 11 days, that he would really have to start from scratch again or have the opportunity to start with a clean slate. And I can imagine that in 2024, that looks a whole lot different than 2020.
Yeah, and I just practically to this question, he has more time now to plan. Just who does he want? Because he had to do it. You're the president of the United States. You got to do it. But now he has had the opportunity to sort of reset his focus. And I think one of those things that you know, Brad kind of mentioned this, is that we've all realized just how dangerous government run amok can be. And we knew that. But now we really know that. And making that a priority for 2024 is probably higher on the list than it was in 2020. Therefore, I think he's going to be able to get more done.
What about the difference between Trump Pence and Trump Vance?
That's a good question. your vice president is basically a media surrogate or is out there doing things that
I don't think so. Not in a second term
at
all.
They put Pence in charge of COVID in some ways. But I just view the VP as somebody who's out there giving the message much more than anything.
When you have Mike Pence out there doing his like conveyor belt, old fashioned Republican conservative thing, of which I'm not like entirely opposed to. It's just I'm not like attracted to it as a voter per se, versus the youth of J.D. Vance and the relatability of J.D. Vance and his rock solid understanding of conservative values. That is a forward-thinking approach. Mike Pence was not going to come out of a second term of Donald Trump and become the next president of the United States. No shot.
No. And that alone, regardless of whether Vance has presidential aspirations or not, I figure that he probably would, being the VP, but that alone makes Vance better.
Oh, man, that's too big of a question to ask right now with 20 seconds left. I'll ask it on the other. It'll be my first question in our next question segment, which is our Ask Us Anything question segment. We're transitioning over to the title Next Question. That's coming up next at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Andy Fry YouTube channel to get your questions for us in. We'll be right back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.